Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Ready to Pop, the ultimate pregnancy podcast with me, author and journalist and host of Owning It the Anxiety podcast, Caroline Foran. For this episode, we are talking about all things skincare and pregnancy, what you can use, what you can't use, what to expect from your skin at the beginning, middle, end and beyond your pregnancy, how to treat things like pigmentation or pregnancy breakouts, how to get the pregnancy glow that we hear so much about, I never got it, and so much more. For this, I am joined by, who else, the skin nerd Jennifer Rock. Jen is my skin hero. She's my idol and my savior. And she was one of the first people I actually told about my pregnancy because my skin went a bit haywire in those very first few weeks. And as always, she came to the rescue. For more personalized advice, I absolutely recommend a skin consultation. And you can also contact Jen and her nerd network at theskinnerd.com or hit them up on social media where they are always more than happy to answer your specific questions. I really hope you find this helpful and enjoy. Jennifer Rock, thank you so, so much for joining me on Ready to Pop. And obviously, given your title and your expertise, we are here to talk about all things skincare during pregnancy. So thank you so much for being here. You have been informed since day one, because one of the first things that I experienced was my skin going bananas. And I was like, I don't care about telling people in advance because I need some help. And you are always my go-to person for skin, even though you've got an empire to run. And I'm like, Jen, I have a spot.
I think that I am lucky enough genuinely to be one of the few people in the country that is told by thousands, not because I know people necessarily, but because, as you say, when you become pregnant, you're so conscious and aware, which we'll discuss, as to what to use and what not to use. And there's a certain kind of fear element, because obviously as a mother, you never want to put anything onto your body that will have any kind of impact on your skin, only that it is positive. So the amount of DMs I get where people say, please don't ever share this, please don't ever screenshot it, but my husband doesn't even know yet. Oh my god. And I'm like, congratulations, okay, take a photograph of what you're using, let me guide you through it. So yeah, I constantly spend my life replying back saying congrats with a little baby emoji, then say no vitamin A, be careful of, you know, pigmentation. We'll go through it. Yeah. All there's many different skin conditions that you are prone to, so just setting people up as early into their pregnancy as we can. And then post-pregnancy is another common question, people while they're breastfeeding or not breastfeeding, whichever is applicable. So I'm happy to be one of the first that knew with you and with many. To start, let's just talk about, in general, looking at pregnancy an overview perspective. What major changes can we expect from our skin? I think the main thing that we are exposed to whilst pregnant, more so than when not, is pigmentation. So you'll typically hear it called melasma or chloasma. It's ultimately when you might look in the mirror and you might think, oh, that looks like a freckle, and the freckle starts to spread out in that it tends to gather. It almost looks like a tea bag stain that's been left on a counter for a little while. And I don't mean that as disrespectful or offensive as it could sound, but it's almost that mottling effect. So that's typically caused by, usually pigmentation is caused by excess light. But whilst pregnant, your body temperature is higher, hormones, as you know better than I right now. So they tend to cause heat within the body, which then in turn causes inflammation, which excites your pigment cell. And it means that your body is in essence overproducing the protection element of your skin. People will always write in and say, I have this unsightly, blotchy pigment help. And the good news is, if it's pigment prone due to pregnancy, it tends to subside. Pigmentation, unfortunately, is one of the hardest skin conditions to treat. When the baby is here, you will notice that it tends to subside. Like, I was kind of thinking, because I was lashing on the factor 50 and we had a couple of really sunny days, and I was thinking, oh god, am I doing damage from the outside? But you say a lot of the pregnancy related pigmentation is inside out. Yeah, very much so. And with skincare, it always is the inside out element. But I think particularly with pregnancy, it is inside out. Like if you think about it realistically, the hormones are inside, the heat is inside, the baby is inside. Yeah, so all of it is kind of mixing into this mixing bowl. So there are elements, there are ways you can protect. So SPF, as you know better than anybody, because you are, pigment is always something you and I talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. So SPF is definitely important to prevent against further pigment. But the reality is just because you apply SPF, example 50, today doesn't mean that you won't still develop the pigmentation. So I don't want people to be lured into this false sense of security where you think, oh, that's it, I've ticked the box. You do need to be aware that it can still come through, but it's okay, we can treat it afterwards as well.
Okay, and it's something that, if in my experience, didn't really develop for me until later into my pregnancy.
Yes, it tends to be towards the last trimester more so than any other time. Tends to be not so much on the hands, because typically in our 30s and 40s, where I suppose the decades you're probably more likely 20s, 30s, 40s to become pregnant, pigmentation doesn't really manifest in his hands till we're maybe 50s, 60s and beyond. And it tends to be another part of the hormonal stage of our body, which as women, we have so much to look forward to. But when pregnant, you're prone to getting it on the higher part of the cheeks, the higher part of the forehead, the upper lip. So that's when it tends to come through. So my main thing would be SPF to prevent against, vitamin C, unless you're problematic skin. And again, whilst pregnant, you are prone to getting spots. But what I find really interesting, and this is a trend, because we have 15,000 clients in Nerd Network, and a lot of them, as you might imagine, because we tend to talk to 35 is kind of our typical to be here. So there's been a lot of pregnancies through our door, our virtual door. And what we find really interesting is that the pregnant clients that have had not so great skin prior then have great skin during pregnancy and vice versa. So it's an unusual, almost as if the hormone fluctuation shifts. So when you, for example, when I don't have great skin all the time, then I become pregnant, my skin is delightful. So I should obviously just turn into a baby making machine. There's no other solution. But yeah, going back to the vitamin C piece for pigment, vitamin C can sometimes irritate a problematic skin. So be aware of where you sit and whether vitamin C might be your go-to or not. With vitamin A, you know I adore vitamin A. Vitamin A is the game changer for pigmentation in a typical capacity. However, whilst pregnant, we're very cautious of the level of vitamin A. But you can use very low levels, fat levels that you would naturally have within your skin. So all you do is putting back into the skin what the skin has, and that is the most reparative element. And then there's another thing called inhibiting tyrosinase, which is ultimately the enzyme that sets off the excess pigmentation production. And that's where, example, you love the Image Illuma serum. There's many different versions on the market. So with the inhibiting tyrosinase, what you're ultimately doing is kind of slowing down the overproduction of pigmentation. And that doesn't really fix it, but it's almost like you're holding a child back and you're kind of grabbing their t-shirt and pulling it back towards you. So you're kind of, you're restraining it in a sense.
Okay.
And you'd ever hold a child back with a t-shirt. Why don't to my child? But yeah, do you know what I mean? You're kind of curbing it, I suppose.
Okay, so pigmentation, something that we can expect typically towards the latter part of the pregnancy. Let's talk about the first trimester. For me, it was breakouts that felt like beyond what I was used to. Is that typical?
Again, yes. I think it's just such a surge. And I think also, you know this better than I, this is absolutely your topic, but with regards to stress, anxiety, it's newness. You're starting to really realize that your body is changing, your life will forever change, particularly if it's your first. Even if it's not, your life's going to change if you have two or three with you now. So I think there's an element of that is, I don't know if we can necessarily blame pregnancy, but the fact that our brain is catching up with how many things are happening. And as we always know, stress does impact the amount of oil that you secrete. It affects the amount of ceramides you naturally have in your skin, i.e. your fats. It affects your water levels. And all of those things have an impact on whether you have spotty or oily skin. So
I had like a lot of quite like aggressive looking blemishes around my chin area. Then my chest really started to break out and my upper back. So like in terms of if we put stress to one side, is there specific hormonal changes that you think make it more conducive with like excess oil and blemishes? And is it typically just breakouts and blemishes, or can we expect more like redness or dryness?
Depends on the person, definitely. It depends on what you're predisposed to prior to pregnancy. But yes, there is obviously hormonal. The data shows that you are more likely to secrete a different type of oil. So the oil, when it's coming out, is a different type of oil. So when you're kind of removing it from your body, instead of being free flowing, it tends to kind of come up like a little plop of oil onto the skin. So it's a different consistency. And then also from a bacteria perspective, there tends to be a little bit more bacteria there. There's so many people that find that is their reality. There's no doubt about it. The other side of it is if you're dry skinned by skin type, let's say, prior to pregnancy, there's a possibility and probability that that will become heightened whilst you are pregnant. The hard part I find with having problematic prone skin as opposed to dry skin is that the typical ingredients or the arsenal that you would use on it, such as benzoyl peroxide, salicylic acid, you can't lean on whilst pregnant. Now, the one thing I want someone to know, if they are pregnant and they're listening and they didn't realize in the early days they were pregnant, they start to panic, oh my goodness, I was using this product, have I done anything to my baby? The answer is no, skincare can't really get into your bloodstream, but obviously we always err on the side of caution. So with those ingredients, because they are related to, example, salicylic acid is related to aspirin, and whilst pregnant, as you know, your access to painkillers is slightly less, so we tend to not encourage you to apply anything topically that would mirror what you can't apply internally. And then for dry skin though, the good news is you can actually, you know, it's hydration, it's hyaluronic, it's ceramides, it's good fats, it's emollients, it's humectants, all of those ingredients, glycerin, they're so easy to provide the skin. So I suppose what I'm saying is, if you're listening and you think that dryness is going to be an issue for you, that's easier to rectify in a sense. And plus getting lots of nuts, seeds, fish oil into your diet, which you're encouraged to eat well, obviously, anyway in life. Particularly, I think we take the responsibility even more seriously. Yeah, sometimes while we're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that, like, for me, when I was dealing with those initial kind of first trimester breakouts, I did notice that they kind of settled when I got into my second trimester. Even if we do nothing at all, obviously we're supposed to be helping ourselves nutritionally and with, you know, the right products, but even if we do nothing at all and we just look at the hormones, can we expect that, you know, a lot of these things will figure themselves out as time moves on?
Very much so. I think, again, across the majority of our clients in Nerd Network, it does tend to subside. And we're not a big fan of trying to say, like, oh, you have to buy this now and you have to buy that now because it's going to be short-lived. But at the same time, if somebody's truly feeling negatively impacted by it, then, yeah, of course, we're going to say, look, this is a consideration. But some of the products, and I know we'll get onto products now, some of the products are tenfold. Like the colostrum that you mentioned is really ideal for someone who's getting spots and breakouts, but it's extremely anti-aging. So it's not that it's money not well spent. I suppose you're able to tackle a couple of things that you typically might be conscious of if you're in the pregnancy stage. And if you're not conscious of anti-aging while you're pregnant, you're going to have no sleep. I'm joking. You'll have sleep in a couple of months' time. So it will definitely help your healthier skin, and you won't look perhaps as fatigued as the little human would like you to look.
Okay. So we have pigmentation, we have breakouts. If you're potentially a dry skin person, that might be a little bit exacerbated. Is there anything else, even in terms of skin on the body, separate to maybe stretch marks, that you see as very common symptoms of skin during pregnancy?
Sensitivity is definitely one. That the skin might perhaps be a little bit more reactive or sensitized. So for example, people will often contact and say, I've been using XY brand of detergent for genuinely my whole life. Like, I think my mother used it on me, and now I'm 30 odd years of age and all of a sudden my skin is responding differently. That's definitely it. I remember when I worked in clinics years ago, I could tell that really loyal clients of mine that were pregnant, and I'm not really not trying to make myself like the pregnancy whisperer, but you'd always wonder, because they'd be getting laser and they would be so they would respond so differently. They would respond as a human so differently, i.e. their pain threshold was completely different, and then their skin would respond. It would be red, it'd be tender, it'd be swelling, which wouldn't be their normal response, for example, and would take a lot longer for that to subside. So definitely there's an element of your body is slightly more sensitive. But can I also say, and I know perhaps because I had little mini me when I was maybe not the age that everyone would encourage you in a campaign poster to have a child. I was a teen, but I there are many people like myself, regardless of their age, that I didn't have anything. So I don't want people to listen to me. Oh my goodness, it's going to happen to me. It's not. Some people have the most beautiful, dewy, healthy skin. Some people look the same. Some people do get a spot. Some people get lots of spots. Some people get pigments. Some never get it. So I wouldn't see it as a negative piece at all. I just think, you just have to kind of go out with your skin. And if it's your second or third, there's no knowing that it'll be the same as your first. So just take each day as it comes. And I suppose there's many ways to manage it.
Yeah. And you mentioned there, I mean, for an awful lot of women, and I guess culturally, we have this idea of pregnancy being like glowing, beautiful skin and like kind of flushed cheeks. So that obviously comes from somewhere. So there is a lot of women who have beautiful, like you say, like a lot of problems they maybe had before just balance out. What is the glow, and is it a real thing, and where does it come from?
The glow is a genuine fact where the it typically tends to be due to the fact that the hormones are balancing your norm, if you will, in another way. I always visualize it like a weighing scales. So you have like the old school weighing scales where you'd weigh something on one side and whoop, the other side would go up or down. That's ultimately what's happening within some people, that it's balanced. So with that in mind, then the oil secretions become slightly less. The oil itself is the right consistency, i.e. doesn't clog a pores, you're less likely to get a blackhead or a spot. The skin itself then is actually creating the correct amount of oil, which means that you have the natural barrier that you're supposed to have, which means that you're not going to be as tender or sensitive or dehydrated. So that's where the glow comes from. The glow is technically actually talking about what our skin should look like if it was a dream world and everything was just in the right balance and the right proportion. So
wow.
It is few and far between, though.
Before. I don't know if I had that.
I don't think anyone really does. I also think that sometimes what tends to happen with pregnancy is people tend to take a little bit more time for themselves, mm-hmm. because they're aware their body is changing. They're aware that their lives will change significantly. So cleansing in the morning, putting a serum on, an SPF, because you tend to read so many articles about pigmentation and what can potentially go wrong. I genuinely feel that people actually just take that little bit more time for themselves, which quite nice.
And you're just more cautious in general, and you want to make sure you're doing the right thing, you know, whether it's food you're eating. I mean, I say that, but I have had the palate of like a 5-year-old child. I have not been able to go for the vegetables and the salads and the things that I know I need, because I don't know, the baby just wants what it wants, and hopefully I'm getting what I need in terms of like supplementation as well. But because I was like, I'm going to go into this and be so like health conscious. I'm not going to like eat for two. I'm going to just eat for me, and all of it went out the window.
I think we put so much pressure on ourselves. All of my friends are like, there's a gang of us of six, and we've all grown up together, and everyone's having babies, and they're the second or third now. It's just the age that we're at. But I hear them at the beginning, particularly when it's their first, they put so much pressure on how they're going to be during pregnancy, and then secondly how they're going to be as a parent. And I suppose because all I've ever known is being a parent, like since I've been an adult, I've been a parent, I don't know any different. So I just feel, oh, you know, it's not judging from the outside, I don't mean that, I'm just like, I just wish they'd be a little bit easier on themselves. You just have to mind yourself and make it realistic to your life, to be fair.
And for a lot of people, like myself included, pregnancy has not been fun. And of course you're grateful. And of course, you know, if it's what you wanted and you planned it and, you know, you're happy, you know, that's great. But you can also still really struggle through it. And I have found it to be like so grueling. And then obviously there's the pressures of feeling like, do you sound ungrateful? But I think women need to, you know, allow themselves. And like one of the things that really got me down was my skin. Like I just felt like when I looked in the mirror, I just didn't recognize myself. You're already feeling, I was sick, I was having, you know, all the different kinds of symptoms. And then just to have your skin go funny, I was like, oh, for feck's sake, like, you know. So I just think, yeah, like self-compassion is so important.
I think the other side of it is, you said it there yourself when you were so unwell at the beginning, and many people that suffer with morning sickness, although I don't know why they call it that, but that's a different day's conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You're dehydrating the body. Like if you think about it, if you have, I don't know, a bug or any kind of an upset tummy and you're unwell for a 24, 48 hour period, you see it in your skin. Your skin looks dry, it looks dull, looks sluggish. It looks almost gray and pallor. And I think that's important to note, that, you know, as you say, the nutrients to get in, definitely you're doing it for the baby, but do it for yourself too. And it doesn't mean you have to eat a whole plate of broccoli. Supplements are always a cautious one with pregnancy. I'd always check what it is that the doctor recommends, but by and large, probiotics are always encouraged for people, for health in general, for immunity. There's a lot to be said when you're taking probiotics, that it actually helps the birth canal towards the last trimester, that the baby is actually born with the correct bacteria levels around itself, which will then help it withstand eczema, etc., and different types of inflammatory conditions.
Okay.
So that's an interesting one. And then just trying to make sure you get your vitamin C for your own immunity, trying to make sure that you get your omegas, i.e. your essential fatty acids, for hydration. And just, your skin is going to stretch, and you mentioned there about the body, I think stretch are typically genetic, to be honest. I don't really believe that an awful lot of products will truly prevent against what is inevitable. That's the bearer of bad news. And I sit here with stretch marks underneath my breast right down to my hip. So, and I was 17, so everyone's like, oh, when you're young you don't get them. No, you definitely can. They're all the way around my back, and that's just what happened. And I suppose there's no rhyme or reason for it. So I think it's unfair, because stretch marks can truly affect how people feel. And I think it's unfair for me to say, oh, use this and you'll never get it. That's just wrong. What you can do is keep the skin as supple as possible. And what you can do when the baby is born is really get a lot of vitamin A based oils onto the skin, because when the stretch mark is pink, that's when you still have blood going to it. But technically a stretch mark falls into a scar remit. So it's like any scar, if you burn yourself, the sooner you treat it, the better, in a sense. Getting vitamin A onto a stretch mark when it's still red is definitely advantageous. Why do I say, why do you have to wait till the baby's born? Well, vitamin A is one of the ingredients that we don't encourage you to have in high levels whilst pregnant, because there are many different forms of vitamin A out there and some just aren't suited whilst pregnant. So we just tend to err on side of caution and say no to the majority of vitamin A. More like what you said earlier, there are low levels of A that you're allowed to have. There's low levels of salicylic you're allowed to have. So it's just about tweaking the levels. But yes, definitely stretch marks are a hard one. And then there are lots of treatments you can get done if they bother you in the future. But it's, I don't love when people say, oh, just, you know, love your body. I find it very hard to look at my stomach. I've never once in my life worn a bikini. So I don't think that it's fair for anyone to cast judgment on another, but just to understand that you can help them, you can minimize them.
Yeah.
And okay. Like radio frequency and that you can get done afterwards for pockets of them to help them kind of plumping out.
So let's talk about what we can and cannot use during pregnancy. First of all, what we should be, like when we find out we're pregnant, we're going to be looking at what the products that we're currently using. What are the top things to, and also, I mean, what I also want to recommend is having, regardless of your skin condition, I do recommend having a consultation with the Nerd Network, because it'll kind of help you know what to expect, and because it's so personal to you. So that would be my advice. But before someone gets to that point, if they're looking at their products, talk me through what we need to steer away from.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
First of all, thank you. That means an awful lot, because I know that you've been in the beauty world for a long time, so you have a mass amount of insight already. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think it's the uncertainty around it and always wanting to make sure that you're doing the right thing by you and the baby. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of articles online that you Google and people say, oh, you can't and you can, and it's confusing. So to have somebody to be able to say, look, this is fine, this is not fine, that's okay that you've been using it, let's take you off it now. This is what your skin history has been like, this is what you're probably prone to happening. And then just having someone to touch base with, so that, you know, you suddenly launch into your third trimester, you're like, oh goodness, this is new, this hadn't happened before, what do you think? So it's been able to have someone to kind of bust the myths. But by and large, what would I look for at home? I'd make sure I do have an SPF that's in date. I'd make sure that it's a high enough protection. I'd make sure that I'm applying it every day. You know me, Caroline, I'll always say that anyway, but definitely with pigmentation, as we discussed already, is kind of...
And a sensitivity as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, depending on the time of year, people might think, oh, it's Christmas time example now, so I won't. But no, it doesn't matter whether it's summer or the whole year round, your pigment is prone because of the heat inside. So SPF, definitely. Vitamin C is an absolute go-to. Why? Because it gives you lightness, it gives you clarity, it helps inhibit redness, it helps just to hydrate the skin. It's a healing, it's a natural antioxidant. It's just a really powerful all-round. And we know it. We know vitamin C is good in our diets. The same is applicable to the external part. But you do see a vitamin C glow. You see like an evenness to the skin. So if we're trying to get this whole glow craze that people have told us over the years we're supposed to have, the only thing I would be wary of is too much vitamin C for someone who's problematic like yourself. I would be wary of a lot of it. So if you're drier skin, vitamin C is your go-to. If you're oily, just a little bit of it is fine. So what I mean by it versus a lot is I wouldn't have a cleanser and a serum and an eye cream and a if I was oily skin. I'd probably just have it as part of an ingredient in an example. I don't know, hyaluronic, you might put your little bit of vitamin C in there as well.
Okay, and would you, with vitamin C, would you advocate it being taken internally with obviously diet and supplements as well as topical?
Yeah, for me, skincare is quite simple if you want it to be, or it can be uber complicated and time consuming, and I don't really tend to favor the latter, although I think that people have this vision of me, you know, cleansing for an hour at night or something. I don't, I'm the same as everyone, I want to go to bed. So, I would say to use exactly that. I would use like a vitamin C serum inside, and if I'm outside, don't eat it. But what I'm doing outside, I do inside. So yeah, I take probiotics inside. I take vitamin C inside. You cannot take vitamin A inside whilst pregnant, but that would be my norm. And then I tend to just mirror image that on the outside. So I'll have probiotics in my external skincare. I'll have vitamin C in my external skincare. Vitamin A you can have in your external skincare.
What's the risk with vitamin A internally during pregnancy?
Okay, so vitamin A is part of, it's obviously a large family tree, and there's different forms. So you have your beta carotene in your example, in your plant form, which is what you find in your carrots, etc. Then you have retinol palmitate, which is a fat form you naturally have in your skin. There's lots of different forms. There is a form called retinoic acid, which people might often have heard of in another capacity called Roaccutane. It's a drug that you are prescribed by a dermatologist. If you're based in Ireland, it has to be a derm, where it really helps with severe acne conditions. However, that form of vitamin A is quite aggressive and cannot be taken whilst pregnant. And then because it's all part of this one big family tree, if you Google vitamin A pregnancy, there is a possibility that you will read about the acid form that the dermatologist can give you. You'll confuse that with the fat form or the carrot form that you've gotten from your eye cream example. Mm-hmm. And understandably, you start to panic and you start to think, oh my goodness. So for erring on the side of caution, most brands tend to just be uber cautious and say, look, it's a no-go across the board. The interesting thing with vitamin A, if I could just do one more nerdy bit, when you put the fat form on, it actually has to convert into that more potent form within the cell to actually have the true impact. But because it does it in a chain reaction, it's perfectly safe. However, because the aggressive form that dermatologists give you is really potent, it's kind of a protection piece that you don't ever have to worry, did I or didn't I do something wrong? Because unfortunately, there aren't always happy endings with pregnancy. So you don't want anyone to ever feel like they were the cause of it. The medical form is obviously a no-go. You'll never be given that by your doctor whilst pregnant. That's why you're often tested for pregnancy during it.
Okay, and one thing I was taking was the Advanced Skin Nutrition Acumax, which I went off as soon as I found out I was pregnant. And that is one of my favorite things you've ever introduced me to. And I can't wait to go back on it. But as soon as I have the baby, I can, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you choose to breastfeed, you have to be careful of supplements that you take inside. So always check with your midwife or your whomever it is that you're under guidance of. But Acumax, it's a perfect introduction to it, because Acumax was designed to rival the acid form that dermatologists can give you, but in a more progressive way, like a supplement manner, as opposed to a medication. This is me not advocating not having medication. If you need medication, you need medication. But from a maintenance perspective thereafter, that supplement can be great. But you're right, you can't take it whilst pregnant. You can take omegas. And there's a lot to say with, like, omegas are obviously, when you read up on it from a pregnancy perspective, they're amazing for babies, for their brain, for their heart, for their lung development. So it's an amazing supplement to take. But from a skin perspective, the essential fatty acids actually act like a body moisturizer. So like, I can barely reach my toes as it is, and I don't have a 30-week bump, right? So I would say that it becomes harder and harder to be able to moisturize yourself, yet you might feel like your feet are being neglected and you can't touch certain areas anymore, and you're trying to twist and bend and you can't sleep at night and you start feeling these little dry patches. If you eat really well, i.e. if you eat good fats, you tend to find that you are actually naturally internally moisturizing your skin.
One of the things I learned from you was that you can drink all the water in the world you want for hydration, but if you're not locking it in with omegas, it's kind of a waste of your time. So for dryness or for hydration, you need to balance the omegas with the water intake. And that's outside of pregnancy and in pregnancy, right?
100%. So when you are eating good fats, you basically help your cell membrane to retain the water that you drink. Whereas if you don't have the good fats, your cell membrane is slightly too permeable, i.e. water can leak in and out. So you can be like, I drink my 2 liters of water. And then you're like, why am I so dehydrated? Often you're not giving the skin the tools it needs to keep the water in the skin. Yeah.
Okay. And if people are unsure about the products that they have been using and what they should be changing, will it always say on a product if something is unsuitable for pregnancy?
Caroline, this is a tough one. So you know that we launched Skingredients a year ago, and a large part of what I tried to bring to the packaging was to make sure that it was somewhat understandable for the end user, because a lot of the questions I get, honestly, a lot of DMs will be people saying, like what I said to you earlier, I'm pregnant and here's a picture of their cleanser example and they say, can I or can't I use it? I'm confused. Because you'll read out there, and I want to touch on acids, you'll read out there about some brands will say, yes, you can. Some brands will say no. So it's very hard to kind of navigate your way through it on your own. So what we've decided to do on our packaging, and I really genuinely do hope that other people follow suit, is we have a little logo on it. Whether it's for pregnancy, it's safe, it'll say it. And if it's not for pregnancy, it'll have a little line through a pregnant woman. So okay. that you never have to actually contact someone and tell them before you want to. And, you know, you don't have to go to a local salon or whatever, or look it up online. It should just be there. I believe that's an important piece.
Absolutely.
But going back to what you can or can't. So SPF, definitely. Vitamin C, 100%, but if you're problematic prone, not too much of it. If you aren't in your dry skin, get all the vitamin C, whether it's a serum or a booster or an eye cream or a mask. Like, vitamin C really does give you that hit of goodness there. Environ is a brand I definitely hold in high esteem. Vitamin A from Environ is amazing. They have their ABST1, ABST2. So they actually have a step-up program where we are always usually trying to get you up to the 4 or 5s. But when you're pregnant, up to 2 is perfectly safe level. And then antioxidants. So literally why you should eat vegetable, like you mentioned earlier, like you're not sitting at home eating Brussels sprouts and broccoli because you're normal. No, I'm joking, but like really hard to get those foods into it. You can do the same externally. So you can just have lots of antioxidants. So things like lycopene, arbutin. Honestly, there's so many brands now, most brands, like Wheat Skin Veg is packed full of antioxidants. Neostrata have them, The Ordinary, The Inky, Drunk Elephant, Yonka. Like, honestly, every brand will have antioxidants version in their skincare. And that just gives you clarity. It really helps with inflammation, which is obviously what pigmentation is. Inflammation is actually what spots are. Inflammation is what redness is. So it's a key ingredient. It's almost, it's the underdog of skincare. And then cleansing. So a lot of people, like you mentioned there, the Image Clear Cell Cleanser, that has 2% salicylic acid in it, which is the highest level of salicylic you can get in an EU product. And salicylic is typically given to somebody who has problematic skin or breakout skin, or even if you just get, like when you're not pregnant, a spot at time of the month and you're like, oh my God, and it has a like a passport, it's so freaking big, it pulses. That acid is fantastic for really bringing it down. But like I started to mention earlier, it's related to aspirin. So we tend to say no in high levels, while something like actually the Environ product is low enough that it's safe to use every day while it's pregnant. Glycolic is a really interesting one because it's so popular. So glycolic acid, and the word acid always terrifies people, but actually acid just means that it can exfoliate. It doesn't always mean it exfoliates, but by and large it does. Glycolic is an ingredient that's gotten so much press over the last 2 years, and it's designed to resurface and slightly exfoliate the skin. You can get it in many different percentages, so the higher the percentage, the more it'll exfoliate. But when you are exfoliating your skin, this could be with glycolic, this could be with salicylic, this could actually be with your old school granular, like, you know, old, like when you actually massage a physical bead into your skin. And I say old school because the sector has moved so far away from that, mainly in the environment. But for me, I was never a fan of that mechanical exfoliation because it tends to actually, interestingly, be more disrespectful to the skin than an acid. Anyhow, glycolic, or whatever way you're exfoliating. When you are pregnant, as we said, pigmentation is a higher probability. When you're exfoliating your skin, the top layer, you're leaving your skin more susceptible to light because the pigmentation is caused inside whilst pregnant, but it's also going to be triggered by external light, which you just can't avoid unless you're living in a freaking cave, and I don't think that's going to be enjoyable for 5 months. So if you're exfoliating and you're prone to pigment, there is many that will say that they will be conscious and cautious of you overusing glycolic, not because of the baby, but because you're more prone to pigmentation anyway. And the more you exfoliate, the more you leave your skin more open to light. And light is already a cause of pigmentation, and you're already internally more probably prone to pigmentation.
Okay, so hopefully we've given people an idea of the very obvious do's and don'ts, or the general recommendations for the general pregnant population. But as I said, I think you're going to be overwhelmed enough as is with all the change. It is probably a stressful time. You might be dealing with other symptoms. Your life is about to change. And I think, you know, when my friends start talking about, oh, like, what product would you recommend? At this point, as much as I can say so I love something for me, I just think it's so personal, and it depends on your skin history, your diet, your lifestyle, what your skin looks like now. So like, I do think that if people are listening to this and they're thinking, oh Jesus, the glycolic, the salicylic, the this, the that, the tyrosinase, which is a word I can't even pronounce.
You did, you got it.
Did I get it? I would just say, you know, if someone does a skin consultation with the Nerd Network, you have someone there who is honing in on your specific picture of skin and your lifestyle and your files, basically. And you're going to get advice that is going to be relevant to your history and everything, and you have to send pictures. Like, this is what I found really, really great about the consultation, was that I had to send pictures of my skin so that they know exactly what they're dealing with, and they're not just throwing out random recommendations of products, because I think that's where people end up wasting money. They end up being disappointed if it doesn't work out. So I really do think, and I know it sounds like this is a big advertisement for you, but I really do think I was so grateful to do that consultation. And just for transparency, is it €50 for someone to do a consultation?
Yes. Yeah, so the way we describe it is, and it's not that it sounds like an ad, I just think you can hear how much you appreciated it. So that means, and like that's, and it sounds like such an American pageant answer, but that's the why. Yeah. And I like that is why. So I think that for me, it's not necessarily like, there's products that we have on the store that so many people have. So it's not that I'm trying to say, oh, we're special. Where I really believe we add value is kind of what you said there. It's that if you want someone to go to that is not going to be brand biased, that will say, right, I have this, what do I need? Well, keep that, bin that. When that's finished, let's start you with that. And I think particularly when you're pregnant, you are, as I've already said a couple of times throughout this, you just want someone to guide you and you feel safe and comfortable in the knowledge that you're getting the best possible skincare routine whilst pregnant. And then afterwards, when baby's out and whether you're breastfeeding or not, we can help you with the skin condition thereafter. So you kind of have someone that has your back, I suppose. But
yeah.
€50, and they are what we call part of our membership, and they just have access to us. So we have a live chat, we have a particular number they can contact us. So you said there, I WhatsApp you, but we offer that to everybody. That's not just because you and I know.
No, that's because I'm special. No, it's not. And just so people know like what to expect. So I did the consultation, had a chat, talked through my symptoms, here's pictures of my skin, here's my history, here's the kind of what my routine has been now. And then what I got in return was a very, very clear list of, this is what you're going to use AM, this is what you're going to use PM, this is what you're going to use maybe once a week, and this is what we're going to try, and we're going to see how we get on, we're going to observe, and this is going to be like almost like your homework. So it takes away the guesswork. And actually, even though I still had loads of blemishes and I hadn't even ordered any products yet, just the fact that I said, okay, do you know what, I can just hand that over, someone's going to guide me, and it made me feel confident that at least I knew I was in good hands. And I know that as down as we can get about skin issues, whether we're pregnant or not, there is always something you can do, hopefully. And that's what you guys are there for. So I can't thank you enough for that. Like, obviously I was so grateful to have that consultation, and something that I suppose I hadn't thought about was post-pregnancy as well. I just assumed.
How much time will you have?
I know, but then it's kind of like having a doula or something as well. Like just having a lactation consultant to be able to pop on Zoom or Skype or whatever, which is socially distant and amazing, and it always has been because you've always been online, but to be able to do that, it just takes away, it's just like one less thing you need to worry about because someone else will worry about it for you.
I was talking to a dermatologist about this recently, and we were saying that, you know, with skin, it is an organ. There's so many different things that something will work for one and not for another. And I was saying, I really feel that, and she was agreeing that really, when you're given a regimen or you have somebody that you know, like what you're saying there, like I feel the Nerd Network, we feel accountable. So yeah. We feel like come to us for a consult. I can't really make your skin react. I can encourage you to get the right products for your skin. I can teach you how to do it, but I want you to come back to me every couple of weeks and just say, right, this is working, this isn't working, right, let's up the ante, let's change that, let's tweak it. You're going on holidays, example, please God, dream. So you might need that because you're abroad, whatever the case is. But then you can touch bases in between. So we have what we call touch points, where you can send an email and someone will reply within 24 to 48 hours saying, yes, you should take that out, or oh, your skin's sensitive now, that's different, so let's do that. So it's just it's almost like having a best friend or a personal trainer that you can just contact.
Exactly.
Because skin is a freaking minefield. And whilst you are pregnant, obviously that's what this is completely about, while you are pregnant, your skin does change an awful lot. And as you say, you've so much going on. So I suppose what we would like to be able to say to someone if they're to give a testimonial is, I feel good in myself. I feel the burden's been taken away from it. I feel someone else is accountable for me, and I feel like I can trust the advice that I'm being given. And that's always our goal. So, but can I just say, and I like thank you for mentioning Nerd Network so much. There are so many phenomenal therapists and clinics across the country. So there might be an opportunity then for some, once you have the right human, like I always say human, but once you have the right human to guide you and you feel they have your back, that's what we all need. And then the other actual, if I can pop back to ingredients for a moment, hyaluronic acid, again, an example of an acid that isn't exfoliating. That is fantastic for just giving the skin a pep in its step. Masks are great if you're going to lie down, because you might need to. Masks are great just to kind of give a hydration element to the skin. Spritzing is beautiful, particularly when people start to pack their hospital bags. There is an amazing Avène spritz that I always give to friends. And it just, I know this sounds quite diva-esque when you're packing your bag, you're like, I will have no time for that. If you're having a long labor and you're, you know, it could be the coldest day outside, you're going to be a little bit hot, as you might imagine. So, you know, I'm biased in this one, I'm not going to lie, but the Cleanse Off Mitt and the Spritz have been products that I have seen so many people contact saying they were lifesavers, because you're just allowing your skin to feel cool and you're actually cooling your temperature down at the same time.
Well, I will be packing all of my Cleanse Off Mitts into my hospital bag. I haven't even thought about the skincare element of my hospital bag yet, but I will get on to you about that when we finish recording. So before I let you go, I know you've got another meeting and a whole day of skin advice and wisdom to share, but just general parting advice for women who maybe just found out they're pregnant or maybe they're feeling stressed out about the negative changes in their skin. What can we say to reassure them that, you know, it's not always going to be this way?
I'd say congratulations. I'd say don't put pressure on yourself to feel any certain way. I would say that I think I don't particularly love when someone says embrace your changes. It's hard, and it's equally okay that if you are just one of those humans that goes through pregnancy sailing through and you look stunning the whole way through, own it. Like that's fantastic too. But I would just say your skin can change. There are ingredients we can help that are perfectly safe the whole way through. When the baby is here and you start to have a few minutes even to yourself, don't let your regimen go altogether. Even if we can help you when you're up late at night, you can spritz yourself, you can. And it sounds like things like, oh my goodness, is she delusional? There are little things that you can do that take honestly 5 seconds that will allow you to still feel like you and to be taking control of your skin. Because the reality with skincare is that when people come to visit you or the baby or out and about and you're socializing again, you want to be able to feel like you with the baby as opposed to this baby might have taken first place. So there are key ingredients that you can apply and little tiny measures and tweaks to your regimen. Honestly, Caroline, honestly, it can be a cleanse, which is 60 seconds in the shower. I know the showers are few and far between when you're a little human. Serum, definitely vitamin A, vitamin C, let's get it onto the skin. If there's pigment there, there's an added boost, you can put in SPF. That's it. Like, it genuinely could take you 120 seconds if you wanted to, and you could if you really needed to do it with the baby in the arm. And whilst you're pregnant, just try to take the time that, you know, especially if it's your first baby, I say to all my friends, take as much time before you can for maternity leave, because for forevermore, like Matthew 16, I can't go to the toilet, the child still talks to me. So just try to take that little bit of time to yourself and don't see skincare as pampering, seeing it as a means to self-care, and just, you know, try and enjoy it as best you can. And I mean this, and I generally mean this, if anyone does have any questions, they are more than welcome to come to us on social, and if we can help at any stage, we always will. And I suppose I say congratulations.
Oh, Jen, thank you so much. There's so much to unpack there, so much great advice and information. I hope that people feel empowered to go on their skincare journey, and, you know, through pregnancy and beyond, because it doesn't just stop there, and it's very important to treat, as I've learned from you, the skin as an organ. And if your skin is bad, it's not that you're vain, it's a part of your health, and it's so important. You know, you want to have a healthy body and mind and skin, and it's all one thing. So thank you for your wisdom and your expertise, and good luck with everything, and I can't wait for your new, can I mention your new book?
Yeah, you can, of course.
Your new book, which will be out this September.
I am looking forward to seeing yourself and Barry, a little mini human, in coming weeks, because I think it's such an exciting time, and I think doing this podcast is absolutely spot on. It's such a underspoken about conversation that needs to happen, and it can bring woes and it can bring highs. So yeah, love it. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, take care, and I'll chat to you soon.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.